Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sandy Bob Show. Today, we are going to have a very, very interesting discussion regarding ancient times, Orion, reptilians, free will, and religion. Those are the main topics that I'm going to be talking about today. And the show will only be an hour long today. So I got a lot to cover. And I want to start today by painting a picture of planet Earth. Now, you can read in the history books that there was, you pull out the Bible and it talks about the history. There were giants living in the old times, and we know from archaeology that there were dinosaurs roaming the Earth, and you have all these coal mines around the planet where they've dug up coal, and they say, whether I doubt if it's true or not, but they say that that was caused by dead dinosaurs and dead trees and that sort of thing. So anyway, I'm gonna start talking about the history or ancient Earth. The Earth was covered with trees that extended 15 to 20,000 feet tall, and they were miles across their base, and the oceans contained monsters of the deep that were just huge in size, and there's a lot of history and a lot of lore about all this. So I want to start by quoting a few sources, and I'll start with this one. Later Jewish sources describe Leviathan as a dragon who lives over the over the sources of the deep, and who, along with the male land monster Behemoth, will be served up to the righteous at the end time. Well, that may be true or may not be true. And the Book of Enoch, chapter 67 through 9, describes Leviathan as a female monster dwelling in the watery abyss as Tiamat, while Behemoth is a male monster living in the desert of Dunedin, east of Eden. And when the Leviathan is hungry, reports Rabbi Dimi in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, he sends forth from his mouth a heat so great as to make all the waters of the deep boil, and if he would put his head into paradise, no living creature could endure the odor of him. His abode is the Mediterranean Sea, and the waters of Jordan fall into his mouth. In the legend recorded in the Midrash, called Perki de Rabbi Eliezer, it is stated that the fish, which swallowed Jonah, that's another biblical story, narrowly avoided being eaten by the Leviathan, which eats one whale each day. There's a reference in Amos, Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 9, where the Lord makes a quote. He said, "Yet I destroyed the Amorites before them," before the Israelites, "though they were tall as the cedars and strong as the oaks. I destroyed their fruit above and their roots below." Now, this sounds pretty fantastic. You know, I mean, we people read that and say, well, that's a fairy tale. It's symbolic, mythical, and, you know, has no basis of reality. And I always wondered about that stuff. You know, it must have been an interesting time in the history of the Earth if those things really existed. Another quote, I'll just summarize some of them. It talks about the cedars of Lebanon. And if you read the Old Testament and other places, writings, it said the cedars of Lebanon were so huge that all the birds of the heavens lived in their branches, and the mountains lived under the shadow of the cedar trees. All right, that's another expression of what was going on this planet. So we have these huge trees that are thousands of feet high that make even our 300-foot sequoia trees and California trees look like bushes, the redwoods of Northern California, and just make them just kind of look like bushes in comparison. Well, anyway, I'm one day just browsing on the internet and YouTube, and I came across a YouTube that was done by Mr. MRB333, and you can look this up, and it's still there. And this guy, I didn't even get his name because he didn't really say who he was, but the quote on YouTube says, "Man finds huge cedar tree." And so I watched this video, and what this Mr. MRB333 had a friend that sent him a video that he found on Google Earth. And what they found was over in the Eastern Mediterranean on an island, they found what was what you would call the stump of a tree. And from ground level, you would never even know it. But from the satellite view, this stump looked just like a tree stump. It had had tree rings and all the characteristics of a tree that was cut off flat, just like you might cut down a 3-foot diameter oak tree in your backyard. It had the tree rings and all that. Excuse me. So upon further investigation, he went in and measured it, and this trunk root that was cut off measured on Google Earth, it measured 7 miles in diameter. Just across the base of this trunk was 7 miles. And the question was, well, it sure looks like a trunk. How could it possibly be? Well, it turns out that right where this tree, this huge cedar tree, was apparently cut down or felled, that all the branches and the tree trunks were still laying on top of the ground, clearly visible by satellite. And so you could see all the outlines of the branches, and you could see all the leaves in the ground. And using the tools of Google Earth, he was able to measure this thing. And the leaves on this tree were the size of the Empire State Building. One leaf was 900 feet long. Just incredible. And it was enough to knock your socks off. How could this possibly be? And so it started giving credibility to these ancient writings. And then other people picked up on his work, and they started looking around, and they found that there's these tree trunks that have been leveled. They're just cut off flat as a pancake right across the top, are all across the planet, everywhere. And it turns out, not only are they cut, they're cut down in a lot of areas, like out west in Utah and Wyoming, Montana, and the United States, they actually created small mountains just from the size of the trees that fell. All these ravines, mountain ravines, are just nothing other than the branches caused by these felled trees. That's how huge it was. And it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's astonishing. It belies belief, but it's all true. And so further investigators have made the connection that all the mesas across Montana and Monument Valley out west, where John Wayne filmed all his movies in Monument Valley, that all these mesas are nothing but these tall cedars that have been cut down. And so it adds a lot of credibility to all this. And then other people have gone down to South America and have shown that just all across South America, Patagonia and all those areas, I mean, these are absolutely huge. Well, this is all fine and dandy. And then comes in Roger from Mud Fossil University. Now, Roger is really a neat guy. You got to go listen to him. Mud Fossil University, if you look up Mud Fossil University on YouTube, you'll get right to a lot of the things that he's done. And he's taken everything to a higher degree than anybody's ever thought about before. And he says, hold on a second. You know, not all these mesas are fallen trees. And he goes on, for example, to show that, for example, the Devil's Tower that's located out in Wyoming, it was the main feature of the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. He goes on to show that that is not a tree stump. It is a giant's leg that broke off at the bottom of the Achilles tendon. It's a foot. It's a footprint. I mean, it's part of a foot. And then he goes on to show that what happened is we had all these giants living at that time. And just as I read a minute ago, the quote, "Yet I destroyed the Amorites before them, though they were as tall as the cedars and as strong as the oaks." Well, you had these group of giants that were as tall as the cedars. And the cedars were like 15, 20, 25,000 feet high. And so we had all these giants out there that were maybe 1 or 2 miles in height and maybe more. And one thing that Roger from Mud Fossil University did, he went out to Wyoming, and he says all the anatomy of a human giant's foot is in that double tower. It is not a tree that's cut off, because it has all the ligaments and tendons and every, it is the perfect anatomy of a foot. And then he goes on and he's discovered that these giants are all over the earth, but nobody's recognized them. They're laying on the ground everywhere. And some are, they've turned to a petrified rock, which is, it's kind of amazing. A lot of these rock quarries were where you see the ancients were digging out these big 300-ton rocks and everything. Those are the giants that have petrified into a form of granite stone. And down in Peru, a lot of the walls and buildings that they built down there, they were using the bodies of these dead giants to build these walls using the petrified stone from these beings. I mean, it just belies belief, but the evidence is there. It's all there. Another one that Roger, he went over to Stonehenge, and he found that those monuments in Stonehenge are all body parts. And there's one rock at Stonehenge, it's called the heel stone, and he says that's the actual real petrified heel of one of these giants. And then Roger went out west, and he went out to Utah, and there's a famous monument. There's a huge arch that's over 60 feet across, and you can walk under it and take pictures, and it's just huge. And Roger has shown that that is the heart of one of these giants. And they're everywhere. Down in Southern California, where they have a tennis tournament out in the desert, and they also have a golf tournament every spring out there in the desert, as they're walking around on, I think it was the 8th or 9th fairway, as they were showing the golfers, and they were standing at the green with the cameras and looking toward the standing at the tee-off point and looking toward the green, you could actually see one of these giants. You could actually see the features of his face, his arms, his chest. And everybody thinks, well, that's just a 300 or 400 or 500-foot foothill. But actually, it was a petrified giant laying right where he fell. He could see all the features. And now other people have taken up on this, and you can go on YouTube and you can look at all these. They're all over. You have huge elephants. You have huge turtles. The colossal Rhodes was one of the giants, you know, from, that was real famous in history. These giants were real beings that really existed and then turned into petrified rock. So, now let me take it another look at things. Satellite views now show, and you could not see this before the advent of satellite, but you can go on Google Earth, or you can actually see it on Google Maps. You know, anybody that can't afford to pay for Google Earth, just go on the Google Maps and put in the eye of the Sahara over in North Africa, up by Morocco. And the eye of the Sahara is a replica of the city of Atlantis. Apparently, back in the time of Atlantis, they built a city that met all the descriptions of what Plato and Solon and all those guys wrote about Atlantis before it sank under the ocean. But apparently, from satellite view, that there's about two or three replicas of Atlantis that are actually visible from satellite. And just in the area of Morocco, from satellite, and if you go on to Roger's Mud Fossil, or go on to YouTube and watch Roger's presentation, he shows that there is a dragon still laying on the ground across North Africa that extends for over 200 miles, and he was attacking a huge fish that was over 100 miles across. And it's laying there, right out in the Sahara Desert. And upon further inspection, you can see that the Sahara Desert used to be what I would call the Sahara Ocean, because this fish was in a body of water. I mean, fish don't swim around the desert. They swim around oceans, so there was an ocean there. And it's the evidence is clear that some sort of catastrophe happened that caused that Sahara Ocean to drain off to the west. And you can see the path where the water just poured out like a deluge and drained the Sahara Ocean, and it became the Sahara Desert. It's very clear. I mean, there's just absolutely no doubt in your mind that this happened. And some people are saying that fish and the dragon and Rogers, the scales are still there. I mean, it's still in decaying form, so it had to be in very recent geological times. The scales are very evident, and on this dragon, and it had a fluted tail, so they know it was a female dragon, which exactly fits the written descriptions in the Chinese records of what these dragons actually look like. So a lot of this stuff that I'm talking about, all this destruction is, you know, all these big, tall cedars got cut down. You got all these things that happened probably, you know, we know that Atlantis sank around 11,600 years ago, and we think that the Sahara Ocean got drained at about the same geologic time that Atlantis went down, so, and that's just within the last 12,000 years. So the question is, well, what happened? You know, what in the world caused all these disasters to come to pass on the planet Earth? Well, this is where I say, enter the renegade group of reptilians from the star system Orion. Now, the reason I'm painting the picture of this historic magnitude of these animals and creatures and trees that are 15 or 20,000 feet high, and probably, you know, this is, I'm not sure where the dinosaurs fit in the picture that I'm explaining, but we do know, and a lot of this is thanks to Dwayne and Claudia and Rebazar, we know that today that there are over 36 species of reptilians on Earth today, but the leader of the pack, so the really guy that was behind the destruction of the Earth and all these things, was the clan of the Orion Queen and her two sons, Enki and Enlil. And not only do we know about them because of recent work with the real guides and Rebazar and Dwayne the Great Writer and Claudia, who are all witnesses to this, these guys are written extensively about in the clay tablets that were found in the Middle East. And many of these tablets, there's tens of thousands of these clay tablets, many of which were translated by a guy named Zechariah Sitchin, who passed away some time ago. Now, to put things in perspective, Enki is over 300 feet tall. He's reptilian. And I'm just guessing on this one, but based on their abilities, has an IQ of over 10,000. And these reptilians, like Enki and his brother and the Orion Queen, they live for hundreds of thousands of Earth years. And these reptilians are carnivorous. They are now meat eaters. And their home planet is starving. They should not get enough food to eat. So, I'll talk more about that in a moment. The scientific technology of these reptilians is thousands of years advanced of what we know on Earth. And not only are they advanced technologically, they have no problem buzzing back and forth between Orion and the planet Earth and other solar systems, which they have already taken over and destroyed and are operating in. Not only can they operate in the physical plane, but they can also travel freely on the higher planes like the astrocausal and mental planes. Otherwise, some people know them as the lower heavens and the higher heavens. So I'm painting this picture to show that there is some basis for reality of the reptilians existing, their destructive nature, and history points that something happened here, and there were giants on the Earth, and all these things actually did take place. Now, once Enki came, now there's a long story behind Enki, but he was a very highly qualified geneticist and very intelligent, very capable, but he was also mad. He was what you might call a mad scientist. And I won't go into detail on that. But when he came to this planet Earth, one of the things that he found on the planet Earth was gold was laying all over the planet. Gold was everywhere, and gold, especially white gold, could be used back on the Orion's home planet to, they had health issues, and by spraying this gold in the atmosphere, they could improve the health of the reptilians living on their home planet. And so Enki decided to harvest this gold on the planet Earth, so he had all the buddies with him. He had a council, and they started mining the gold. And so, like Grand Canyon, I personally think that Grand Canyon was dredged by the reptilians. I don't think it was millions of years of water running through from the daily rainfall. I think Grand Canyon was dredged. And one of the reasons I think that is because when they got done dredging Grand Canyon for the gold, they left monuments that simulate it's a layout just like the pyramids in Egypt, which they built, and it represents Orion's star system. And they're kind of like, what do you call those, cathedrals, or what do you call them? Anyway, places where the people could worship. Anyway, so Enki gets his buddies to start working the gold, and they start selling it on the international market, and they start hoarding gold as though it's very, very precious, because it is needed to improve the health of the reptilians. But at some point in time, the reptilians that were working with Enki got tired of it and they rebelled. They completely rebelled, stopped working the mines, and they told Enki, you know, we're done. We're not going to do any more work here. And that forced Enki and his council to get together and decide game plan B. And so game plan B was they saw that there was a bunch of very intelligent primates living on the planet, and they came up with a brilliant idea that if they could take these primates, these smart apes, and genetically alter their DNA by infusing some of their own intelligent DNA into making another being. And what they wanted was they wanted to create an animal that they could not only they could use for slave labor, they wanted to create an animal just like these primates, which were just like cattle, or like cattle or sheep or whatever. They were intelligent, but they had no self-awareness. They were just animals, like we would call animals. And so they thought, well, we'll just do some genetic engineering here, and we'll engineer them, and we'll make them smart enough to operate our mining machinery, and we'll put them into slave labor and work the mines. You know, we'll teach them just like you train a dog or a lion in a circus. We'll train them how to do all this stuff, monkey see, monkey do. And they decided to engineer this new being to also be food for them, because they were starving and they wanted to have a source of food. So they created this new type of being on the earth, and it's what we call humans today. Well, everything was fine until they created Adam and Eve. And when they created Adam and Eve, it turns out that for some reason, Adam and Eve were not dumb animals. They were consciously aware beings. They were sentient beings. And they had a mind of their own. And they instantly became aware that they were created beings and that they were for food and to be working the mines. And they were not very happy about that, because they were fully aware, just like you and I are aware today. If we got stuck in a mine with a bunch of reptilians with their whips saying, hey, if you don't do a good job, we're going to have you for supper tonight. Adam and Eve knew that. So it created a real problem for the reptilians. And so the reptilians were forced to create a system that we call religion today, where this new human race was given the opportunity to be good. And they set up this religion of good and bad. And they said, if you are good guys and you work well for us, we will not eat you. And we also provide a system of cattle and sheep that you can sacrifice. And if you will sacrifice these animals, we will eat these bulls and cattle that you raise for us. You do all the work. You raise them for us. You sacrifice them for us. And we will eat them instead of eating you. But mind you, you have to be a good slave laborer, or we might eat you anyway. And if you read the lost books of the Bible, you go back there and you find that Adam and Eve committed suicide about 6 or 7 times before and then they had to be recreated before the Enki and these reptilians got them under control and convinced them that they would not eat them if they were good and would do the sacrifice. And so you have these sacrifices starting. And so not only did you have the creation of religion, created Adam and Eve and they started procreating on the earth, they developed governments where they would reward different human beings with different levels of rewards if they their fellow humans would help to control the humans that were in the slave labor camps doing all the mining. And so here we have the advent of government and we have religion. So how does this all work about with us? Well, where did these sentient beings come from? Well, that's you and me. We are the sentient beings that we saw an opportunity. We're beings of light from the all is, and we volunteered under our own free will to come here to planet Earth, to live on Earth, to learn how to control free will. And so the all is set up the system of karma and reincarnation and the two heavens, and we volunteered, because everything is voluntary. We have free will, total free will. We volunteered to come here and get into a system where we could go through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of reincarnation, and each lifetime, hopefully, we would learn more and more and more, and eventually we would get our act together to where we had total control of our free will, and we could use our free will wisely and in a safe and loving manner instead of for destructive means. And I think that's how we came about being here on Earth. But when the reptilians created the human race, they had no idea that sentient beings were going to, unless they were able to look ahead in time, they possibly knew that. But that was something that they had to deal with. Now, what I find really interesting is, Dwayne has talked about this, there is what was created on what I call the third heaven, the higher heaven. There is a being there that the beings, the humans on Earth anyway, worship as God. And Dwayne, the great writer, affectionately calls him Grog, the three-headed God. And I call him the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's the term I just came up with yesterday. And they use this system of the good, the bad, and the ugly to control all life through wars, religion, businesses. Everything uses the good, the bad, and the ugly or neutral. Even all science today, you have the positive, negative, and the zero point energy. It's all based on the positive, the negative, and the zero point. Now, in the one of the religions that was created on the planet Earth was the Hindu religion. They have the three gods, the good one, the bad one, Shiva and Brahma and all them. And when it came to the Christian savior religion, you have the bad god, which is the God of the Old Testament, which all the Jews and all them worship. And then you have the New Testament, you have Jesus, which is the good God, and you have the Holy Spirit. Well, guess who the Holy Spirit is? That's the influence. That is the third head of the three-headed God. It's all the same religion. Nothing has changed. Only the names have been changed to protect the guilty. All right, so here we are today. We're in a system of perpetual reincarnation. We're here by our free will, and hopefully every lifetime will get better and better. But something has happened on this planet that has really kind of thrown a monkey wrench into the progress of people growing through each reincarnation, and that is the reptilians have recently, just within the last 100 or 200 years, have sped up the destruction of this planet, and they're using their advanced technology to slowly take over the minds of the people on this planet. And by taking over the minds of the people on this planet to where people become connected to computers, they're turning human beings into what the Star Trek movie calls Borgs. The humans are being turned into Borgs, where they're going to be connected by computers, and they will have no free will whatsoever. And if you lose the ability to have free will because your minds are pre-programmed, the chemtrails that are being sprayed on a daily basis around the world contain nanobots that if they get into your system through the food you eat or the water you drink, these nanobots go right to the brain, and those nanobots can control your thoughts. And once your thoughts are controlled, you're toast. You've lost your free will. You don't have that free will anymore. And because of all this, the All Is has called upon the real guides to come into our system, into our solar system, and start doing whatever they can under free will by showing people that, hey, you are great beings of light. You've come here on your own free will, but you're losing your ability to have this free will. You are just totally losing it altogether, and something needs to be done about it. So I see we have a number of listeners today. Is there anybody that would like to make a comment on what I've said so far?
There's a question I've had for a long time, and it's about maybe Claudie, is she here, or you, Bob, but could answer it, but the reptilians, they can shapeshift. Maybe if you could talk about that a little bit. I'm just curious if they're 300 feet tall and they're in human form, and I hear they can't hold their form and they have to go back to their original state. Well, doesn't that mean they become 300 feet tall, or how do they go back and forth, and how does that all work? I wonder if you could discuss that, if anybody knows that. Just curious.
Well, that's a fabulous question, Val, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the next things I was going to mention, was since these reptilians are fantastic at doing genetic manipulation, they found that it was not enough to get human beings to lord it over their fellow human beings. It just did not work properly. So being genetic engineers, the way Enki and the reptilians are, they have done many, many genetic engineering projects where they have created beings that have enough DNA in their system to where they're basically reptilians. They've engineered themselves. They are reptilians, and they've managed to create this race of reptilians that are about somewhere around 8 or 9 feet tall, very, very carnivorous, but yet they have enough human DNA in their system that they are able to freely switch back and forth between their normal reptilian form and human form, so they can take on a human appearance of a human being that has a stature of somewhere maybe around 6 feet tall, give or take a few inches. And it's a whole race of being of reptilians, and they're widely known throughout European history as the Blue Bloods. And one of the reasons they call them Blue Bloods is because they have a copper content in their blood that's 20% higher than normal human blood. And when they bleed, their blood turns, as soon as their blood oxidizes, it turns blue, unlike humans. Most humans will bleed red, but these Blue Bloods, if they bleed, and they can die, just like humans, their blood turns blue. And so these reptilians have managed to create a race of these beings to live among the human beings, and they take positions of authority. They're government leaders, they're banking leaders, they're corporate leaders, and they're in all walks of life. And it's a very fine line that has been required to be able to maintain that ability to shapeshift between human form the reptilian form. Now, for people that don't believe that that's possible, let me throw something out there that many people do not know, is the body is really kind of unique. As an example, a lot of people think that, like, if you have a little kid and he grows up and he might be 19 inches tall, and then he grows up to be 2 feet tall and everything. A lot of people believe that babies grow, you know, maybe an eighth of an inch, you know, a week or something, systematically grow. But if you talk to any good doctor that deals with young kids and even parents, there's a lot of parents out there that are pulling their hair out because their kids, they just went out and bought a brand new pair of shoes for a kid. And then the next morning, the kid wakes up and the shoes don't fit because the kid grew 2 inches overnight. The human body is a lot different than you think it is. Al Bielek, who was one of the two brothers that were on the Philadelphia experiment, after the aliens got done dealing with them in the Philadelphia experiment, the reptilians came in and they took their full size. They were like in their 40s or 50s, and they regressed them back into childhood to where they were just a little baby. They took their full adult form and regressed them right back into infant stage. And then they gave them a brand new birth certificate and said they were born around 1950. And that was Al Bielek. I've talked to him. My brother Mike has had many conversations with him. So these are really things that the reptilians are capable of doing. And so shape-shifting from human form into reptilian form back and forth is just nothing to them. It's absolutely nothing. It's just like a chameleon. A chameleon can change color to meet the circumstances. Well, the reptilians can change back and forth like that also. However, you know, what you're talking about, Val, well, you know, how do they keep from inadvertently shifting when they're not supposed to? Well, that is a problem. You know, they've had a problem in recent times of losing that ability. And so my friend that was employed by the CIA, she had diplomatic immunity, and she would travel widely and excuse me, and she would wind up traveling with a lot of these shapeshifters. I mean, she never told me at the time, but she would wind up traveling with these shapeshifting reptilians, these blue bloods, and even though they could travel from country to country under diplomatic immunity, they had what they called the diplomatic suitcase or briefcase, attaché case, that they would carry with them. And these attaché cases, they kept vials of human blood that was taken from humans under certain conditions, like panic states or whatever. And if these shape-shifting reptilians were out in public and they started losing their ability to maintain their human form, they would quickly go in a dark room somewhere, and they'd ingest a vial of this human blood, and they would instantly have their control back, that they would be able to maintain their human form. As a matter of fact, this we just found out, a few weeks ago, or, well, probably a couple of months now, this list of who are the highest level blue bloods is recorded at the highest levels of the Vatican, and the movie actor Tom Cruise donates millions of dollars every year to the Vatican to help maintain the finances necessary to maintain that list of the true blue bloods. And in England, Princess Diana, her family was part of the, well, she was, Princess Diana had the proper genes to maintain the balance between human and reptilian form. And the reptilians, like the queen, they ordered the royal family to marry Princess Di because they were losing their ability to maintain human form, so they had to have children born from Princess Di in order to keep the balance between the human and reptilian form when it came to controlling their ability to shapeshift and keep their human form when they so desired. They were losing the ability to keep their human form. And after Princess Di provided the children, then they murdered her. They sacrificed her in a temple of Diana. And that's a long story. David Icke has a really good book that explains all that in detail. He has all the facts and circumstances surrounding that. But yeah, Val, that's a very good question. And so these blue bloods go out in society. They live among the humans. Most humans think that they're just fellow human beings, but they're not. They're shape-shifting reptilians. But one of the characteristics of these shape-shifting reptilians is they're usually really nasty. You know, they're the kind of people that would frown at you and growl at you, and if you didn't do something just exactly if you didn't do things properly, they would either fire you. If you're in the military, they'd shoot you. Or, you know, it's no telling what they would do, but it's a very high level of control over human beings. I don't know, does that help answer part of your question?
Yeah, it's a lot. That's a lot of information. I didn't know that Diana was like part reptilian. Is that what you said?
Well, she had the proper, yeah. Princess Di was not reptilian. She was, but her family, the reptilians, not only have their blue blood family, but they also have a bunch of beings that they actually create in test tubes. And they're like test tube babies. I'm not sure if Princess Di was one of the test tube babies, but they keep them on the side, and they're pure humans. They are a pure human being, and they use them to interbreed with the reptilians to maintain the balance that is needed to maintain the ability to switch into human form. So they need a pure human to mate with the reptilians in order to have that balance. And that's where Princess Di came in.
Got it. And these reptilians, do they actually know that they're reptilian, and what's their mission? Why are they here? What are they doing? Just the control factor?
All the shape-shifting reptilians do. Now, there's a lot of people within the shape-shifting families, like within the Rothschild family, the Rockefellers, the royal families and all that have married into the family but are not shape-shifting, and they know nothing. They know nothing that their uncle or whatever is a shape-shifting reptilian. That is a very well-kept secret. As a matter of fact, we probably wouldn't, if it wasn't for the real guys and the work of David Icke, well, you wouldn't even know about it today. I mean, it is a very, very highly kept secret.
Okay, so if one is reptilian or has, or I suppose we're all reptilian, according to how the world began here with the DNA changes that Inky did.
That's absolutely right. We have a lot of reptilian DNA. Our brains are reptilian. A lot of babies are born with tails in the hospitals, where the reptilian doctors have to be, they have special doctors that are Johnny on the spot that will come in and cut the tails off. Over in Africa, I understand that where they don't have doctors and they have kids born over there, they have kids that are actually wandering around with their tails that were never cut off at birth. And so, yeah, that's a reptilian characteristic. So, yeah, we definitely have these reptilian characteristics.
Okay, I'll go on with somebody else. But thanks. That really explains a lot, Bob. Thank you. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Claudia or anybody else? Claudia, you still on? She may have had to leave. Anybody else would like to add anything to this? Well, one of the things that I would like to say about the reptilian religions that they created, the reptilian religion that was created is a religion that you would call a savior religion. And What happened in the early days when they set up the religion, and if you were a good guy and you would obey the rules of the reptilians, they wouldn't eat you. Well, they also set up another lie, and that was, well, don't worry, you know, if you live long enough, we're going to send a savior to come back and free you from all this stuff. Of course, human beings didn't know it was reptilians operating behind the scenes. Probably a lot like many of us didn't know reptilians were operating behind the scenes until the real guys came in and started waking us up to this thing. But you have this savior religion, and the savior religions have been around for thousands of years. And in the Christian religion, of course, Jesus is the savior that's supposed to come back and get rid of all the evil and turn the planet Earth into a paradise where you live for the rest of eternity, ruling with Jesus on the planet. Now, I'm not sure if everybody's at the same par, how you would be ruling on planet Earth with Jesus. Who are you ruling over if everybody's on the same level? But let me, one thing that really kind of, I was reading Moore and David Icke's book, and I came across something that I found extremely alarming, and I wanted to share this with people, and that is the press has been bringing out a bunch of stuff that maybe not directly in the press, but it's especially in the alternative media, not the mainstream press, but the alternative media. For any of the people that are Christians and believe strongly in the religion and their God, and their God's going to save them, and they're, you know, if they die, they're going to, like the Islam religion teaches that if you're a good Muslim and you blow up and kill a bunch of people with a bomb, you're going to go to heaven and live forever with 50 virgins or whatever. Well, anyway, the alternative media has pretty much kind of turned into a religion by itself. And what they do is you have all these people that paint a picture of good, bad, and, like I said, the ugly. They even made a movie called The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And one of the things that Hollywood did to start this religion of good and bad was in America, they took John Wayne, and I love John Wayne movies and all that, but John Wayne was set up to be the good guy. He was the white hat, the good guy, and he always wore a white hat. And all the bad guys, the outlaws and all them, wore black hats. And somewhere else there was, you know, the people that really didn't care. Those were the ugly on the side. And for those people that think that the United States is the most wonderful place on the planet, and maybe it is, but let me read something that David Icke wrote about this alternative media and how people that blind followers of Christianity and all religions have been had. And he goes on to say that remember that the eagle, which patriots, you know, American patriots look to as the symbol of God's own country, you know, America is God's own country, the symbol of the eagle is really a phoenix, a symbol used by secret societies and satanic groups for thousands of years. The stars on the American flag are satanic pentagrams, as are those on the flags of the European Union. The founding fathers who framed the U.S. Constitution were absolutely dominated by Freemasons, answering ultimately to the Mother Lodge in London and another American hero of the time, Benjamin Franklin, who was a practicing Satanist and close friend and associate of the very British establishment from which the fathers, quote-unquote, were seeking freedom. It was a sleight of hand to replace overt control of the United States by a foreign power with covert control. We're still being ruled by England, but now it's not as overt as it used to be. We're told we're free, but we're not any freer than we were under the colonies and British rule. Now, when we talk about the good guys and bad guys, there's a guy named Fulford who is on the alternative media, and he talks about this White Dragon Society, you know, the white guys and the bad guys and all that. He says the White Dragons are the good guys, the good bloodlines, and the secret societies, and they are not bad guys. They're the good guy Illuminati, the good guy reptilians. And so you have a creation of another religion of another savior, and Trump is a big part of that new religion. I'll call it a religion, where you have a president that's going to save the United States, just like Jesus is going to save the world. And as Dwayne has pointed out many times, these guys are knuckleheads. They're not going to solve any problems. But what they do is they match the White Dragon Society against the Black Dragon Society. Who are the Black Dragons? Oh, obviously black is evil, and they're not good. So, but if you follow the White Dragons or the white ones, you're going to be okay. Now, what's interesting, David Icke goes on to point out that all these societies, whether they're White Dragons or Black Dragons, or it doesn't matter, they all follow the highest level reptilians, and they're gonna do you in. Well, we're running out of time today, and I want to thank everybody for joining our show today, and I want to end the show by reminding everybody to sing "New You," and that is it's sung like. New you, and you can do that out loud. You can do it to yourself silently so you're not disturbing anybody. And by doing so, if you do it 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, you will make contact with the real guides that will show you the truth of everything that we're saying on this program. So I'd like to end the show, and since we are running out of time, I would like everybody to join me to close the show by singing "New You." So everybody, if you're already, anybody, any last comments by anybody before we close the show today?
No, thanks, Bob. Thanks. Good show.
And thank you, everybody, for joining. Okay, so everybody on the count of three, everybody sing "New You" together. Okay, one, two, three. New you. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. And we'll talk to you on the next edition. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.